tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. Today, we're speaking with Jenna Carr and Renee Woyth. Jenna is with Cool Cat Collective and Renee is with Tip Ears. Jenna, if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes and introducing yourself, that would be great.
Hello, everyone. I am Jenna Carr. I'm co-founder of Cool Cat Collective in Long Beach, California. We are a cat-themed boutique and art gallery with a space for adoptable cats from Tipped Ears.
And Renee, what is Tipped Ears? It's the best name for an organization I've ever seen.
Thank you. Thank you. So my name is Renee. I am one of the co-founders of Tipped Ears. We are a 501c3 nonprofit PNR organization, also cat rescue organization, focused on Compton, California. So we are specific to Compton, California, and we are lucky enough to have partnered with Cool Cat Collective and have some of our adoptable cats and kittens we have rescued off of the street at Cool Cat Collective.
I have so many mixed emotions. I grew up with cat sheltering in foster homes and all of these things for cats, these different programs for cats in little cages, cats in bigger cages. Jenna, why is the cat cafe model something that's good for cats that need to be adopted and rescued? And is it a better quality of life than a shelter environment?
Well, we aren't exactly a cat cafe, so I can't really speak to what you would normally think of with a cat cafe. Our space is, if you walk in, it feels like a retail shop, but we built a kind of looks like an indoor catio for our cats, including with a catwalk that goes along the length of the store to another separate enclosure. So they have lots of space to get their zoomies out and play and climb. We originally wanted our cats to be free roaming in the store, but for their safety, because we're on a busy street, we needed to create more of a barrier. And it also allows us to keep an eye on who's interacting with the cats, make sure that we can ensure that everyone is aware that there are cats in the store, not getting surprised by cats, and also allows us to kind of talk about Tipped Ears and TNR with people when they want to visit with the cats. So it's a great way to kind of do this impromptu community outreach.
So I apologize about the cat cafe part. I guess I always sort of assume if we're doing a retail environment with cats, it ends up being a cat cafe, but this is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You are a retail space. So what you are saying is basically any business could have this type of a cat situation. It could be a hardware store. It could be a bookstore. It could be anything to help support community cats. So for you as a business person, why did you decide to do this? Is it a business decision? Was it a community decision? What gave you the desire to make a commitment to this program?
I previously owned and operated food businesses in Washington, D.C. with my husband for a little over 10 years. So I'm very familiar with small business, brick and mortar business. When we moved back to my hometown of Long Beach, I wanted our next chapter to really give back to the community. It was something we'd always done as a business. We did lots of fundraisers. We partnered with a lot of different nonprofits in DC, but I had been fostering cats for a while and getting more involved in the cat rescue community. And a really inspiring moment for me was the first time I went with Renee actually to go do TNR in Compton. And, you know, they are so hands-on with the community. It's really inspiring to see the so many different ways that they're involved. And so on the way to just do the trapping, we stopped at a colony feeder's house to drop off some medication for some kittens that somebody had dumped in their yard. And it was the first time I'd really witnessed kittens like on the street with, you know, eye infections. And was like, oh my God, what do we do? Like, do we take them? And Renee was like, we have to have a plan. You have to have a foster. Like, you can't just intake without a plan. And I was like, okay, well, I have fosters right now, but they're going to be gone in a week. So if the colony feeder can hold on to them, I will have a space for them. And so that's how I ended up fostering for Tipped Ears. But it really got my brain going in terms of how do we free up our fosters so that when rescues, especially TNR groups who are the ones who are out on the street doing this work, come across kittens who need help or older cats who have medical issues, injured cats, that there's a place for these cats to go, because it's not like they all have facilities. They don't have like a shelter sort of environment where they can take these cats back to. So it started the wheel spinning of like, okay, what kind of place could move the cats out of foster quicker and open up fosters to be able to do this intake? And at first I was thinking of a bookshop. I actually have my master's in library and information science, and I love books. I love all of that, but I also really love art, and so does my husband. And the more we thought about it, we also wanted to be able to work with independent makers and independent artists. And yeah, it kind of started as a pipe dream that slowly we're like, actually, we could maybe do this. This could actually maybe work. And what you said earlier about a hardware store, a bookstore, any place really that doesn't serve food could do something like this. And I would be so happy if we ended up serving as a model for other people to kind of incorporate this into their business, because it really brings customers joy when they walk in and they see the cats being silly. And I think it adds like a wonderful element to the space.
That's fantastic. When we first started out in Newburyport, Massachusetts with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, we were started as a business solution just because of the cat overpopulation. So many of the businesses, they adopted cats for the bookstore, for the bank, for the insurance office. It was like every business had a cat. They were just taking one for the team, right? They were going to just do that. And obviously we had feeding stations outside. And so, you know, any of the cats that were outside could be taken care of and, you know, loved and cared for by a variety of different volunteers. But business solutions to our cat overpopulation situation is really a wonderful way for us to be impactful. And because having those, we need business support in the nonprofit space. Renee, I don't know if you want to share a bit first about Tipped Ears and what you do, but then also how does this partnership benefit your organization?
Yeah, so we mainly focus on TNR. We go trapping every single week. Boots on the ground. And there's three of us that are the core, two founders and then another member. And we're on the ground every single week, knocking on doors, of course, helping people who have reached out to us via social media or through our website or phone calls. But it doesn't end there. So we go help the one person who called, and all you have to do is walk down the street. And there is six other houses on that same street who also have outdoor cats need help. So every week we go out, we trap the cats for our appointments. We help colony feeders with food donations when we can, help them with any cats that have medical issues if we can. And then, of course, we do take in any sick, injured, friendly, orphaned cats or kittens when we can, which is, you know, a big thing because, you know, you need foster homes, you need adopters, you need those things to be able to take cats in because, you know, every foster home has its limit. Every physical space also has its limit. So until you move cats out, you can't take more cats in. So that is how Cool Cat Collective has really, really helped us, is because it has been not only an outlet for fosters to move their foster cats and kittens into a space where they will get more visibility. You know, they're not just a little picture online. They're not just something you see on Instagram, but you can actually go and meet these cats. And it's better than a tiny kennel because you get to really see their personalities. You know, they're running around in an enclosure. They have cat trees. They have toys. They're interacting with other cats. So you really get to see their actual personality versus, you know, if you go to a more kenneled shelter setting, it's just a, you know, a cute little cat or kitten in a kennel and you don't really get to interact with them as much as you can at Cool Cat Collective. So it gives them more visibility, more adoption opportunities. And, you know, the more cats we get adopted, the more cats we can take in and get off the street. So it's been extremely beneficial for us in being able to rescue more off of the street. And then, of course, another aspect to it is bringing awareness to what we do. we have cats with tipped ears in the store because they were originally cats we were going to TNR. We didn't have a space for them. We put them back out on the street and we were able to go back for them later because we did have space open up. So it's kind of a conversation starter to see the cats with the tipped ears in the store, talk about TNR, their story, and why it's so important.
I used to call that room at the inn cats. So they were cats that we put back, but when we had an opportunity and when we had room at the inn, we would bring them in. So I used to tell folks that they were like, "You, how are you putting this cat back?" And I'm like, "Because we just can't handle him right now, but he'll be fine. Just keep taking care of him and he'll be fine for a couple of months and we'll work him into the system. But at least to know he's neutered or she's spayed, at least we know that they're not going to have kittens out there or help with the overpopulation situation. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. But when we have a chance, when the opportunity arises, we'll come back and we'll get them." So usually calmed folks down in the community to say, "Okay, I care about that cat too, and I'm not going to let it go." Jenna, tell us a little bit about what this cat space looks like. And did you do the design or did you have help?
It was very DIY. I designed it and my husband built it. And we ended up, if you've ever seen kind of what an enclosed catio looks like, it looks similar to that. We did end up using vertical slats of wood instead of the wire mesh just to get it a little bit of a different look. The cats have a big space where they can run around. They have shelves they can sit on. They have multiple cat trees, and we're always trying to vary what's in there, vary up the toys, move things around to make sure they're being enriched by their environment. They have a catwalk that spans the length of the store that they can move from one enclosure to the other. We call it the big enclosure to the little one because the little one is smaller, but it's in the front window, and we actually built shelves that go across the window so they can sit right in the window and watch people going by, watch the dogs, sit in the sun. And also it gives them a chance to not interact with people if they don't feel like it. They can go up in the catwalk. They can go in the front enclosure. And then we also have their litter box area is separate. It's behind a wall. So they have what looks like little doors they can go through into the litter box area. And there's some space in there they can hang out if they don't feel like being around people or if they just want it to be quiet and dark, whatever they want to do. And we really encourage people to let the cats come to them. You know, follow their vibe. They're not allowed to pick them up. So we talk a lot about cat interactions, but the cats do get really well socialized. So we've had a number of cats that have come into the space that were pretty shy, that hadn't had a ton of socialization in foster, that through spending time at the store became very outgoing, definitely went from being cat cats to people cats. So that's been really rewarding to see because you never know when a shy cat comes in. You're like, "Oh, I don't want to stress them out. Is it going to work?" But we always give them a week, see how it goes. And yeah, we just try to make the decisions based on what's best for the cats. So whether we're changing something in the way their space is set up or changing something about the rules in terms of how people interact, cats' well-being always comes first.
So Renee, how many cats have actually been adopted?
Oh, that actually, I think Jenna knows that number directly from the store is a different number than from Tip Deer. So I'll let Jenna answer that one.
As of now, I believe it's 14. So we've been open 3 months, and I believe it's 14 cats through Cool Cat Collective that have been adopted from Tip Deer's.
And Jenna, do you have kittens there or do you primarily focus on the adults?
Right now we have both. And actually, we have an unusual situation right now because we have 4 kittens and their mom because they were pulled at the same time because they were all very sick. So that's kind of a unique situation to have. But we also have 2 other cats, one who's an adult and one who's a 6-month kitten, separate from that.
Hi, I'm Pam Johnson Bennett, certified cat behavior consultant and author. It breaks my heart to see amazing shelter cats overlooked simply because they're too nervous to shine in photos. That's why I've partnered with the Arm & Hammer Cat Litter Feline Generous Program and their Personality Pick Sweepstakes. Using cutting-edge technology, Arm & Hammer created an AI tool to turn standard shelter photos into AI-generated portraits that highlight each cat's unique charm and bring their lovable traits to life. I'm excited to announce that this week, 3 incredible shelters, Rocky Mountain Feline Rescue in Denver, San Diego Humane Society, and RSQ Animal Rescue Team in St. George, Utah, were named the winners of the sweepstakes. They will each receive AI personality picks and $10,000 to support their life-saving work. These portraits are already helping shy cats, seniors, and bonded pairs create better matches with adopters and find loving homes. As someone who's dedicated my life to understanding cats, I can tell you, Arm & Hammer's AI personality picks is a game changer for adoption. Interested in adopting or want to see these incredible transformations? Check out the show notes for the shelter's websites or follow Arm & Hammer Cat on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok to see how AI can help create better adoption matches for all shelter cats.
Do you want to start or grow a TNR movement in your community? Whether you're just getting started or looking to take your advocacy to the next level, our upcoming webinar might be just what you need. Join Neighborhood Cats on Saturday, February 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time for a virtual workshop, From the Backyard to the Front Page, Building a TNR Movement, a powerful session on how grassroots efforts can turn into real, lasting change for community cats. Learn from experts who've led successful TNR programs that not only save lives, but also gain public support and media attention. Find out how to mobilize your community and build grassroots support for TNR. Discover strategies for engaging local media and getting your TNR efforts the attention they deserve. Learn how to inspire volunteers and create a sustainable team for your TNR program. Get tips for scaling up your efforts to make a broader impact on community cat populations. And check out real-life examples from leaders who've successfully built TNR movements. You'll walk away with the strategies you need to organize, inspire, and make an impact. Plus, when you pass a brief test, you'll receive a certificate of completion to recognize your expertise. Registration is just $10, and you'll get access to a replay if you can't stay for the whole event. Don't miss this chance to become a leader in the TNR movement. Sign up now at communitycatspodcast.com. That's communitycatspodcast.com. Trap cats, change minds.
In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together. Whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering, people can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. Hashtag be a helper.
Renee, you are doing a TNR. Trap, neuter, return. Folks, it's return, not release. Trap, neuter, return in Compton, California. And so tell us what life is like for a TNR organization in Compton and what's life like for those community cats.
So we are actually the only cat rescue organization or TNR organization in Compton at this moment. As of now, I always hope there will be more. But as of now, we're the only one. So the need is overwhelming. We have a wait list of, I think, like 85 people that we have not yet gotten to who need help with their outdoor cats. The shelter system here, they mainly really only take in injured at this moment or, you know, orphaned kittens, stuff like that. So really, the cat overpopulation crisis in Compton is really out of control. I mean, we're working some houses that have 60 plus cats just in their backyard. So it's overwhelming, I think is the right word to use. It's overwhelming for us, but at the same time, it's extremely fulfilling because we really see how big of an impact we're making in this community, especially for a community who really hasn't had resources before. They don't have vouchers like some of like the LA City or Long Beach City has. They don't have that. They only get 4 pet vouchers, nothing for community cats at all. So they have really no help for their community cats. Even a lot of spay-neuter organizations don't accept feral cats. So what are you supposed to do? So we're out there and life for the community cats in Compton really depends. Before we get there, before they're spay-neutered, vaccinated, not so pretty. Usually we see a mange, we see upper respiratory infections, we see tiny moms who are only 5-6 pounds who have had litter after litter after litter, who have no meat on their bones because everything goes to their babies, eye infections. We see a lot of suffering before we get there. And it's definitely overwhelming, especially coming from a background of kitten rescue. You know, it's always overwhelming to see the suffering. But we do finish colonies completely. So it's one of the best things is finishing a colony. And you promise the people that you're working with, they're going to be better. You know, they're not going to be fighting. They're not going to be having all these babies. It's going to get better, I promise. And we tell them, reach out if any newcomers come. So then a couple months down the line, we get a text message. Hey, there's a new cat. We go there and it's a completely different scenario. The cats are chunky. They're healthy. They're having fun. They're playing. And we always run into the colony feeders and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. Like, I had no idea it could be like this because they haven't had the opportunity to see fixed, vaccinated, healthy cats running around playing. So it's overwhelming, but it's very fulfilling to see how big of an impact you can have even on just one person's life and the cats that are hanging out in their yard.
Oh, yeah. So true. I mean, I have been just where you've been with regards to cats in dumpsters with the goopy eyes and having to remove the eyes of those cats and then the kittens, and you see the parents off in the woods looking in and like, what are you doing at my kid's dumpster, you know, with the beer bottles smashed all over the place. It is challenging times. I've been teaching a class at the University of the Pacific on community cat program management. And I would say one of the hottest topics is how to prioritize. Who do you, if you got 85 people on your list, who do you go to first? How do you work on that? And it's brilliant that you're saying we finish every project to the best of your capabilities, but you try to get 100% of the cats there because you aren't going to make an impact if you're there just doing 2 cats out of 20, getting 2 of them spayed or neutered and thinking strategically. And I would also advocate trying to say, well, I'm here to do part of this, but you're here to meet me in the middle. As much as we can ask of the community to participate, to help support the cats in their backyard, they'll be much better. I was on another situation with what was considered a hoarding situation. And, you know, when I said congratulated them for doing the best that they could for the cats, they weren't spayed or neutered at that point in time. The neighbors were all grumpy. But I said, thank you for doing what you're doing, but now let's take it to the next level. And they were of the assumption that, oh, everybody's going to come here and pick up all the cats and bring them to the vet. And that, and I'm like, you know, you can bring them to the vet too. It's okay. You can do the transport. It doesn't have to be one person doing everything. You can ask. And the person initially said, well, I don't want to drive 20 minutes. I can't drive 20 minutes. And in my world, 20 minutes seems like nothing. And, you know, you don't see this. Renee is laughing right now. But then through conversation, that person said that they drove like 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes to their doctor's appointments. And so I was like, well, you can drive to the doctor, don't you think? You love this cat. You have a relationship with this cat. You've been feeding this cat. Don't you think it would be okay for you to bring that cat 20 minutes to the veterinarians? And they were like, oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do that. And so it's trying to understand their perspective and what is it that I can get out of the local community to be able to support to make my job easier so that maybe I can do more scale. Everybody, I can tell you, everybody across the country has a really long list of cats that need help and people that need help with the cats that they're caring for. So Renee, I commend you for creating that list. I had that list myself and I'm always like, okay, now who's here and who's there, and try to geo batch the work also, especially with the assumption that maybe these cats, not maybe, I'm sure many of these cats are fed by multiple people in the same region. So focusing on your geo target area and the area where you may have the farthest access to care, right? So in the areas where it's the longest drive to the veterinarian, those may be the areas where the community is less likely to be able to self-assist themselves because they just don't have that transportation option. I don't know. Am I just being crazy here, Renee, or is this some of the stuff that you're doing?
No, that is completely correct. A lot of times when we first start a colony, you know, we go out there ourselves, we do what we can at the time, and then we have them take over. So they've seen us trap. We've gained their trust. We've brought their cats back, which is always, you know, kind of a thing. Either you run into both sides of the spectrum. Either they want you to take their cats and they're done with it, or they're very, very worried you're going to take their cats and never bring them back. Once we've been there, we've trapped, we've taken them to the vet, we've brought them back, we have their trust. A lot of times we can actually kind of hand it over to them. You know, they've seen us trap, we've taught them how to use the trap. And that kind of helps us finish those colonies because cats are very smart. And when they see my car pull up after the third, fourth time, they're gone. They know who this crazy lady is. So, so we do have the colony feeders, you know, really start helping us after we've started a colony. We drive an hour and a half to the vet because free appointments are gold. And we actually use Fix Nation, which is a huge resource for us out here in Southern California. We try to take as many appointments as we can possible for free, just because that increases the amount of lives we're able to help. So we do that hour and a half drive. Usually it is our volunteers doing that because appointments that are gold over here. And, you know, we want to make sure all the cats show up for their appointments. So as of now, our team still does a lot of that driving, but we do occasionally get other appointments at other spay neuter clinics, and some colony feeders who really, you know, want to put in the work and also boots on the ground have been able to transport their own cats there too.
Yeah, it's that access to spay neuter resources is really the key topic also these days. And never did we think when we were starting out in trap neuter return that as community cat folks, we would have to work really hard to try and build capacity up for spaying and neutering feral cats or community cats. And we are now having to be part of that solution. So TNR groups are starting spay neuter clinics. TNR groups are renting a private practice on a Sunday, bringing in volunteer veterinarians and equipment and, you know, the drugs and the medication to do a Sunday spay neuter clinic for feral cats with volunteer help. It's just, if we have to do it, we just have to do it. We cannot have any TNR without that end. We have no purpose. I mean, I don't want to get yelled at all day long if I can't offer spay neuter services. If we have no resources, we're unable to help. And that is a must have resource. And so I think at this point, we have to start focusing on building up that capacity, rebuilding some models that we may have let go in the era of the larger stationary clinics being built and trying to create some of that capacity at the United Spay Alliance, which I'm also on the board of, doing wet lab training. So trying to encourage private practice veterinarians as well as other veterinarians in high quality, high volume spay neuter techniques so that private practice veterinarians can have higher throughput for spaying and neutering of cats. And then maybe they'd be able to offer some more services. I mean, if every private practice veterinarian could do 5 more surgeries, spays or neuters a week, because I feel now too, a lot of our programs that aren't income verification programs, folks that could almost pay those retail prices are going to the no income verification programs because there's easier access actually there than into the private practice. And that's pushing our supply of appointments out. Are you seeing that also, Renee?
Yeah, definitely. I think here, so I live in Long Beach, we TNR in Compton, but I would say standard at private practice is about $400 on the spay neuter. Luckily, we partner with an amazing private practice who gives us a rescue discount for our foster cats, and they're very talented. So we don't have to use a lot of those low cost ones that are for lower income communities. So yeah, I think big issue is just affordability for your average person in general. I mean, in today's economy, $400 to spay or neuter your cat might not seem like a priority for what, you know, your bills and everything else you need to pay for. So a lot of people do utilize those $125, $100 spay neuter appointments that are also what we use for TNR, because those are the clinics that are going to work with feral cats.
Also, and I don't know if it's the same where you are, but where we are, the voucher programs, only certain practices will accept the vouchers. So if you're a resident and you get a voucher that will cover $100, you have the choice of going to, okay, maybe this clinic will accept the voucher, but it's a $500 spay and it's only going to cover $100 of it. Or I can go to the high volume spay neuter clinic that will cover everything. When you're trying to make that decision, I think a lot of people are going to pick the high volume spay neuter clinic, even if maybe they could potentially afford the extra $400.
Jenna, folks are interested in finding out more about Cool Cat Collective. How would they do that?
You could go to our website, which is at coolcatcollective.co, or you could follow us on Instagram at coolcatcollectivelbc. And we are also on TikTok, which I believe is also Cool Cat Collective LBC, but I cannot recall at the moment.
Excellent. Excellent. And Jenna, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I would love to just give Tipped Ears their flowers, because in addition to putting in this effort on a completely volunteer basis every single week, the amount of effort they do to network in the community and be so organized. She mentioned always finishing a colony. Sometimes that means they're trapping a cat they've been trying to trap for 2 years. Like that, I saw that happen recently where they finally got the last cat in the colony that had been evading them for 2 years. So that kind of dedication and follow through, I think, is pretty unique and amazing. And they're also going to be working with us to show the Long Beach community and surrounding people what they can do to help community cats. We're doing a TNR 101 event in our space soon. And we're working on getting a mobile spay neuter clinic and community clinic, hopefully in our parking lot in the next couple months. So it's been amazing partnering with them, and we're excited to see what else we can do.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both for agreeing to be a guest on the show, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future. Folks, please become a subscriber to the podcast. If you liked what you were hearing, please join us and be a subscriber to the Community Cats podcast, or hopefully we'll see you at an online virtual event. Thank you both so very, very much.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.